is the Disaster Recovery Hour. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
How you doing? Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. Every Tuesday between 1 and 2 here at WVNJ, 1160 AM, The Voice. If you guys heard throughout the week, if you listen to 1160, I know you guys do, we have a new commercial, so be on the lookout for it. We incorporated the ServiceMaster family franchisees and franchise owners and so on and so forth. That is what I'm part of now, CPP. Done by ServiceMaster. It is a plug. Yes, it is. Let's get that out of the way. We'll wash it out, and we'll move on to the day's topics. One of those topics is the information that's and we can kind of track how many hits are getting it along those lines about since Irene came to town, and it is now, I think, 5 weeks later. She came in and did her damage, but Bergen County, Passaic County, out on the island, they're all, whatever county you live in, there is void, and you put in New York void, you put in for NY or NJ void. Void is volunteer organizations after disasters. I think a lot of you should go to the website drhradio.net, and there's contact numbers for you to call. Listen, there's these volunteers that one thing is they've come out and have helped people clean up their homes because of insurance hasn't been picking up the bill or FEMA hasn't been out there yet. Those types of scenarios. So you should, we're leaving this stuff up. We'll leave it up for a while. I'm still busy because of Irene. Like I told you last week, actually starting the week before that, you know, after the water recedes and the drying starts to happen, you know, people who are dealing with their situations, you know, then we start to have the mold growth and the fungal growth and things of that nature. And that's one of my tags here, things of that nature. And we had Bruce Wolf on from Garden State Environmental to give you a little clue of what you should be doing to help yourself. And also, if you really want some definitive answers, so you, what kind of tests are done to say, is my house free of mold? Or does it have it? What are the conditions? And the dangers, if you will. But we've had mold on the planet for as long as we've been here. And so, you know, take it with a, you should be cautious. You should be diligent. You do diligence. But don't panic about it. There are methods to remediate it. And you as the homeowner or the business owner, you know, businesses, we're going to talk about that later on in the show, but businesses are hit hard too. And there, a lot of them still not come back for several reasons. One of the big things, several articles out on the island here in Bergen County, Passaic County, you know, the record we have, the island's got several different newspapers. The overall theme is, you know, it's kind of slow with the insurance carriers. Well, you know, when you have these many losses, that's what happens. The it starts to grind, not to a halt, but it grinds out, and these guys are burnt out, and believe me, I've been talking with them. Even my adjuster, that when I got affected at my house, I had to rip out the carpet and the molding and some sheetrock. This guy is, you know, drove up from Texas, and he's got 1,000 claims, you know. So sleeping in a hotel and racking some sleep and trying to do the right thing. One of the things I was, with Irene, I wanted to get that information back out to you. So again, go to the website, drhradio.net, drhradio.net, and look up void, New Jersey void, New York void, Bergen County, Passaic County, Suffolk County, Ocean County, whichever, Essex County. You know, they all have their own different little chapters. Not little chapters, but chapters, and you can get some assistance. Again, you know, it comes in many forms. It's not just physical, but they can consult you and put you in the, you know, kind of in the right path of, because, again, you know, the rivers, we've been getting rained on. You know, we had the Yankees getting rained out that 2 days for one game, you know, so we've been getting pounded with rain. My sump pump's still going. In fact, I was out at a commercial space this morning, about 4 blocks from the Passaic River, and you know, the water is obviously gone, but then they're just impacted heavily with all their product and the mold and so on and so forth. So you know, it's still very much in the forefront of today's news, and with the show. So that's why I'm still talking about it. I did want to bring something up. I had these thoughts of was watching the Yankee game. It's not, it puts things into perspective, watching the Yankee games, and they lost last night, so on and so forth. But when you really think about it, it's just a ball game. You know, it's it doesn't pay your bills, doesn't keep your family protected or prepared, and that's what I draw from that. I'm like, oh, I'm getting upset about this Yankee game, but is do I have the plans for my family? And what came on the heels of that, I got a phone call from a buddy of mine, Chris Green, down in D.C., and we talked about that with Mike Gianchetta yesterday, I should say, and talking about family plans. And so we put up a clip on the website, drhradio.net, drhradio.net, put up a clip, and it's from a commander at NASA, and they're talking about the NASA family. So, I mean, it's a big organization. There's thousands of people that work, you know, billion-dollar budget, so on and so forth. But, you know, you're talking about scientists, ex-military, present military people, and a majority of them, you know, do they have a plan for their own family? And do they have a plan for their elderly parents? And is there a plan for their pets? So, you know, when you think about it along those lines, you know, I want the Yankees to win, but, you know, it's not gonna impact my world that much. You know, Derek's not, writing any checks for my mortgage. I'd like him to, but that's not going to happen anytime soon. So, again, we, you know, what I try to pinpoint each week is about that preparedness plan, and it really, it's a redundancy. It's the government saying it to us, the ACP, which we'll talk about with Mike Thompson, who's a past treasury and chairman of the ACP. We're going to talk about that in the next couple of segments of the program, about planning. And I know, you know, I try to bring in different, I don't know how you say it, different aspects of planning, because it can get, like I said, it gets redundant, it can be a little boring. You know, I've heard this before 1,000 times, Chris. What do you have for me? What's new lately? What do you have for me today? So Mike's got some intel that needs to be brought out there to the forefront, and that's going to be interesting, because like I said, he was past treasury and chairman of 43 branches throughout the United States and internationally. Now he works for Impact Weather Services down in Houston, Texas, and the models that they build for their clients. It's good, like I said, it's going to be an interesting program. A lot of in-depth intel, and it should be informative. I want to thank last week's guest. If you signed up for the podcast and had a difficult time listening to it, it was Newt Haig, and he's a first responder from Norway. And he, my brother actually met him at the World Police and Fire Games, and it was a little difficult understanding, because then again, I talk very fast, so I had to slow down for him. To get a first responder's perspective on an international, you know, how do they address their fires and their floods and their national natural disasters, and also with the Oslo shooting, he was right down the block from where it happened. So we got that 9/11 feel to it. We met some of the New York City Fire Department guys, and they talked about their experiences from downtown, and then theirs was very fresh. Obviously, it just happened a couple of months ago. It was an interesting perspective. You know, I mean, how does the rest of the world deal with their disasters? We all know what we don't all know, but, you know, different parts of our country, you know, we slice it up into little sections of the East Coast, West Coast, Midwest, and so on and so forth. I got a question from Lori. When it comes to things like artwork, books, is there something that you can take care of it when it comes to mold? The artwork, it depends on, you know, is it under glass? Is it oil paintings? A lot of it has to come up with my experience. What I've dealt with, Lori, is the makeup of the actual piece itself. The harder the surface, it is a little easier to clean. The airborne spores that are attacking and getting on top of the books. Now, the books is paper, so it's going to absorb moisture, and that's how the mold grows with that. Books that are left inside a room that doesn't get dried out properly will start to develop growth, and how to address those. It's a delicate process. There's different ways, but you don't want to introduce a wet solution back to the books. You might exasperate it a bit. There could be HepaVac, and could be a dry cloth. Again, you want to keep the books, if they are impacted, they're inside a bookcase. Are they slid in between other books, so it's a very nice tight fit? So then the exterior surface of the pages themselves become they're more connected and contacted, so it's easy to HEPA-vac and maybe possibly wipe off that way. Again, you're not going to introduce any type of cleaning solution or antimicrobial solution to it. So, Lori, hopefully that was informative enough for you. We're going to go to a commercial break with our first guest, Mike Thompson, and pay some bills. Be right back.
If you missed part of today's program or you want to hear the show again, you can do so with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast. Just go to www.drhradio.net, enter your email address, and the show will be delivered to your inbox. Keep you and your family safe by getting information on being prepared with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast, available at drhradio.net. When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York metro and tri-state area.
Do you know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated, a full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. Power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. Or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
Hi, this is Kate Valentine of the Kate Valentine UFO Show. Thank you for joining us on our journey for answers. We are traveling to you on the radio waves, the internet, and by podcasts.
Kate Valentine's UFO Show. Watching strange visitors that come and go.
The UFO Show with Kate Valentine, Friday afternoons at 1 on WVNJ.
Thank you to our sponsors who have supported the show and our journey for answers.
In the early hours after the tsunami, it was ham radio that was on the air, saving lives. When Florida was ripped by hurricanes, the hams were there. In the critical moments after the attack of 9/11, it was the hams who coordinated emergency messages. When disasters strike, the hams are ready. Ham radio works when other communications don't. To learn how you can become a ham radio operator, call the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, at 1-800-326-3942.
Welcome back. Disaster Recovery Hour every Tuesday here at WVNJ between 1 and 2. That's 1160. It's the call number. It's 1160 AM. The voice. Just to talk about that quick segment in the first part, when I was talking about our next guest, everybody knows of Andy Weitzberg, who is the president of the ACP, Association of Contingency Planners, on Long Island. Andy and I became fast friends when I went to a conference regarding contingency planning, and we hit it off pretty well, and he's been an integral part of helping me get the information out to you guys regarding businesses and the continuity of staying in business and sustainability and the intel along those lines. And today's guest is a higher up ranking individual, not higher ranking, but he was a past treasury and chairman of the ACP International for the entire country. That's 43 chapters Mike, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Chris. Hi.
It's Mike Thompson. Mike Thompson. Mike is in private industry now. He heads up the Impact Weather's client services and business continuity programs, and is the past, we all know he's past chairman and then CEO of the National Association of Contingency Planners, and he's the president of the South Texas chapter. Now, you're calling from Houston, right, Mike? How's the weather down there?
I tell you, it's beautiful. I think it's a lot better than you guys having a little bit of rain there up in the Northeast.
God, we can't get rid of it. We lost a bet somewhere this past year, and it hasn't stopped raining on us really, I don't know, for about a solid 6 weeks or something. And then, you know, the rains that after Irene, they're not any less. They're just as heavy and impacting. Mike's been in a 30-year veteran in the crisis management field. He's managed corporate responses to 9/11, Northeast power outage, the postal anthrax, and also several hurricanes, including Isabel, Ike, and Dolly. He's also a former head of business continuity at a top 100 law firms. Managed. I'm gonna. Everybody can go on the website and see Mike's bio, but I'm gonna give him the kudos because this is a great bio, and the man's been doing continuity and protecting our country. He's also a retired colonel, 28 years in the Air Force, and a member of the Energy Security Council.
Yeah, Mike. Chris, you're embarrassing me at a particular time. All that gets me is a bunch of gray hair for whatever's left in there.
I'll take gray hair opposed to what I got going. I got nothing going on up there. And I think I got out of sandbox, Mike. That's what my bio says. But Mike, Andy put us in contact, which the unfortunate with Sue, because we were going to talk next week or no 2 weeks from there, but the ACP. Ever since 9/11 happened, we kind of refer to 9/11 kind of pretty often here, only because it's the world we live in now. It's just it's not Kansas anymore.
So. The world changed on 9/11 in a whole lot of different ways. Not only for those of us involved in the contingency planning disaster recovery side of the house, but for a lot of people in a lot of industries in many ways. And I know when we I talk with clients, whether I have my Impact Weather hat on or my ACP hat on, the topic of how much the world had changed as a result of 9/11 just comes up repeatedly. Again, we saw it in the organization in terms of the membership and how that had reflected it as the organization kind of grew in response to that, and it really kick-started things for us. So, yep. The world changed in a lot of different ways as a result of 9/11.
Right. I think, you know, people think about terrorists, and now that's the new, not that's a new thing, but we had the 93 bombing, and we had the Oklahoma, which is a homegrown terrorist incident. But ACP in general, you know, it's not something new. Been around for a long time, but people are only really recognizing it after 9/11. And on top of that, more so in the last, say, year or two, because of government and FEMA, they need the citizens to be prepared, and they're leaning on private industry.
Yeah, Chris, that's true. In fact, you know, ACP isn't new. In fact, we're almost getting to be a 30-something right now. We started back in 1983 with 11 people in a garage in California that got together to talk about, you know, what is this new thing called the Internet and all of this online business that's going to happen, and how is that going to affect, you know, our ability to be sustainable, recoverable, and resilient. So that's what we got our start in, you know, again, you know, almost 30 years ago. And then as a result of 9/11 and all the disasters that you quoted, and continuing today with things like Haiti, the tsunami, the tornadoes that happened, Irene, you know, all of those things have brought a lot of change to us, and we've seen that reflected in our organization and where we go. And I've seen it reflected myself in terms of my involvement with my community as a CERT coordinator for my community here in Texas of about 100,000 people. So,
you know, people listening on the show, I mean, we've talked about ACP, and we've had some other professionals on talking about business continuity. And I never want to lose my listeners from the homeowner side of it and the personal line side of it. But there is a lot of models that you guys have that really could be, you know, cut down and trimmed up to a bit, but could be very applicable to a homeowner.
But that's true, and in fact, you know, when I talk to people, it's kind of like a scale, Chris. you know, whether we're talking to a large company in an enterprise solution from a disaster preparedness contingency planning standpoint, or to a small company, or to an individual homeowner, the basic principles are essentially, you know, pretty much all the same. You need to develop a program, you know, for what you do in the event of emergency. You need to have backups for the critical things that you have, mm-hmm. people, equipment, supplies, whatever that may end up being. You need to practice that plan, you know, at least once a year, so that you're not trying to do it when you have a crisis. You need to stay informed about what's happening around you, and you need to get involved, you know, in helping with your community and what's going on with your community and ensuring it's part of that preparedness process. So you just take that to different levels depending on what you're doing. Your individual house, those same principles apply. Your neighborhood, and that's what we talk about in CERT, as we build up from a house to your house to your neighborhood to your community and so on, it's kind of a building block approach, and that's very, very true.
Yeah. You know, I want to talk about CERT probably in the next segment. When I want one of my questions. Well, if you just join us, my guest today is Mike Thompson. He's the head of Impact Weather's Impact Weather. Mike, you know what? You use different models for different clients, and your clients are Fortune 500 companies. You know, there's AT&T, there's Exxon Mobil, so you're international. So, but you customize your planning per each client, if you will, for that matter. And and one of the challenges that I, you know, Andy had told me about is getting the old guard to think differently.
Oh yeah.
You know, now you come from you know, 28 years in the Air Force. You know, you being a full bird, I'm sure, right? You were in charge of a lot of people. And, you know, you said this, and that's the way it was executed. Is, since being in the military, now being in the private sector, is there challenges? And I have asked this to Rick Gimble, who's the OEM director out there in the township of Islip. Is there the old guard? Is it still difficult to get that message? Like, listen, the public sector can use the private sector.
Well, you know, a couple of comments there, Chris. You know, first of all, it is difficult to get the message across because what usually happens in my experience is people change in one of two ways. You know, they get an epiphany, and that epiphany either comes as a result of experiencing a disaster or being faced with a lawsuit or something like that that causes them a regulation or so on. You know, having that epiphany or going through the example themselves and doing it. It's kind of like the sight of the gallows tends to focus the mind. But I want to go back to something that you said before about, you know, the old guard. I have found, in comparing my time that I was in the military to the time that I came out, that I found that things don't happen in the military the way a lot of people think they do. You know, there's very few orders. In 28 years, I think I may have given 5 orders.
Oh, really?
Okay? Yeah. And so what I found in the private sector has been very interesting is there's much less a sense of collective commitment than there is in the military. And I don't know if that's just because people in the military are kind of, that's inbred in you from the very beginning about that. So I found the military in a lot of ways to be far more progressive, and what I meant in that, in the sense of adopting new and different ideas and moving forward and the ability to do that, mm-hmm. than I've encountered in a lot of the private sector, whether that's whatever industry that you're in. It's a lot more difficult to get that kind of commitment of people all together, and the broader the spectrum, the more difficult it seems to be to do that. And that then plays into things like disasters, where it's hard to get people to move to begin with because you never think it's going to happen, mm-hmm. and your risk tolerance goes up. And we saw that during the financial crisis. You know, companies, what they did is they assumed greater and greater risk tolerance because of the financial pressures that were on them. They say, okay, well, fine, this hasn't happened, so therefore I'm going to roll the dice and think it's not going to happen. Whereas in the prudent decision, however you measure it financially, would be, let's take this action now because it's going to cost me less now. It's pay me now, pay me later sort of thing.
Right, right, right.
And it would be much more sense, but instead, when there were pressures back down there, what happened is companies assumed greater risk tolerance and said, I'm going to take on more risk, okay, rather than to do things to mitigate that risk.
If you just joined us, again, I try to slip in before Disaster Recovery Hour every Tuesday between 1 and 2 p.m. NVJ 1160 AM. I'm speaking with Mike Thompson. Mike is a past chapter and chairman and treasurer of the ACP of and South Texas chapter. But again, it's 43 chapters through the United States, and the theme is to collaborate with our public sector. They're reaching out for us. I guess that is a misnomer about the armed services, and you would think after 28 years only five direct orders, if you will. That's an interesting take, and I hope somebody grabs that and says, maybe, because as an armchair quarterback in our country, which we're all like that, we're always saying, well, it could have been different. Well, yeah, we could have did this, we could have that. Do you think it's like a flock of, well, we're going to have to go to a commercial break in a couple seconds, but when we get back, we'll talk about it. But do you think it's like, you talked about the financial district, is it like a flock of seagulls? Is it just like, boom, and everyone flies in one direction?
Well, I think there is a lot of things that go on like that, and obviously my experience is an anecdote, but I mean, even if you look at things historically, whether it's desegregation or adoption of a lot of the new business principles, quality business principles, any of those other metrics that you see, you usually see those things adopted, in the military well in advance of what you see overall adoption in the private sector, so... Interesting stuff. It kind of, plays into a lot of different ways, Chris.
Yeah. Well, let's we'll go to a commercial break, and we'll talk about impact weather, and then also want to talk about CERT and where the ACP is looking for in the future, and how can I be of assistance with that.
All right, Chris.
Thanks. We'll be right back.
When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need answers. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP is the answer. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP is a full-service emergency services and restoration company. With 25 years of experience in emergency management and restoration, our seasoned team of skilled professionals is ready to assess damages and restore your property to its pre-loss condition.
Who do I call first? What about insurance? Is it safe to stay here? What do I do next?
Fire, smoke, water, or mold, ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP restores your property and your peace of mind. To reach ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
The money is all dried up, and the work is all gone. Don't want to go to the mailbox, don't want to answer the phone. Did I mention my baby left me? They're foreclosing on my
Attorney Michael Guidreau is the cure for your bankruptcy blues. With a bankruptcy success rate of nearly 100%, Guidreau is an expert in bankruptcy, credit card settlement, and loan modification. For a consultation, call 201-837-7777. 201-837-7777. Call today and get rid of your bankruptcy blues.
I know it's tough to hear me with this firefighter's air pack on, but it's the only way I can be in this smoldering pile of ashes that was my office. And I could get in trouble. But I hope you won't make the same mistake I did, since at least one in four businesses that suffer this type of loss never reopen. So here goes. Just 3 days ago, we sat in this melted wreck of what used to be a conference room talking about how good things were. Over there was the tech room. The fire's bad enough, but the water damage really gets me. Look, here's an article describing us as visionaries. I should have done our disaster plan, but with everything else, I just didn't see this coming. Visionaries, huh? Well, the good news is, at least the ashes can't burn down.
There'll always be a few fires to put out around the office, unless it's not around anymore. But when you have a disaster plan, you can adapt, recover, and stay in control. Go to ready.gov and make your company's plan. Ready.gov. It's never too late to protect your business until it is. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm on the phone today. You're from Houston, Texas. It's Mike Thompson. Mike is the past president. He is the president of the South Texas chapter and also past chairman and CEO of the National ACP. Mike, we went to break, and one of the things I wanted to talk about was impact weather. I was looking at the website and these models that you're coming up with. They also, you know, besides businesses who are paying you and because they need to stay in business, and these are big companies. Have you looked at the municipality end of it? Has it, you've done work for municipalities or anything like along those lines? Cities?
In fact, we have a large number of clients who are government entities, both county and local, whether they're school districts, city governments, county offices of emergency management, a lot of things. Many people don't realize that the National Weather Service, or the publicly available weather that's out there and available, is by law limited to the public, and it isn't to serve a specific entity, client, business, or so on. And so one of the things that we do is we do very site-specific forecasting for our clients and their locations or their operations. And that's something that the National Weather Service does not do. So we kind of fill that void in a very customized solution that we provide to them.
That would, that kind of intel is for the homeowner. I know that we have the business owner, and we're talking about businesses. I mean, you have Mercedes, Olive Garden, Citibank, Marriott. These are monster corporations. And going with impact.
And at the same time, we have a small school district in Katy, Texas. Okay.
That's
it's
good.
Worried about the lightning that occurs in their football games under Friday Night Lights. So.
Friday Night Lights. that was a good movie. I liked it. I don't watch the series, but I liked the movie. So that's where I was going with you know, even, you know, up here where I'm from, we're so condensed population wise. You know, in our counties, we have anywhere from 50 to 70 towns per county, and it's a lot of people. A lot of, you know, we're starting to do some shared services. I think it's going to be the way of the future. It's just my opinion. but our first responders, I know very, you know, with their first night, with their nights out, get the community involved. And that's something I see. You have the community outreach that you guys are trying to implement, or not trying, but are implementing. And then, Katy, Texas is very small. It's big geographically wise, I'm sure, like everything in Texas. But population wise, it's not that much. But football is very important down there.
Yeah.
So getting Joe Citizen to get involved is also part of your mantra.
Oh, very much. And in fact, Chris, I think you hit on something that the government realized not only after 9/11, but probably even more so after Katrina and with every disaster, is that it takes a group of people, a team, a village, whatever term you want to pick here, to bring the whole economy, the whole entity back together, and that's a lot of people. And so public-private partnerships, all those kinds of things are reflective of that. And the PS Prep, PL 110-53, the law that was passed, recognized the importance of the private sector, its preparedness, its ability to recover, directly reflected to the whole economy's ability to get back, and the government just can't do it alone. So whether it's like what we're doing here in my neighborhood tonight on National Night Out, we do it in Texas because it's too hot to do it, you know, in the middle of the summer when everybody else does it.
Right.
That's what that's all about. It's getting people involved at the grassroots level, at their individual house, to be more prepared so that they're able to get back. And some of the statistics in this area are really shocking when you look at them. You know, whether it's like the Red Cross, for instance, has done a survey that says that only 7% of the population has taken basic preparedness steps at their house. You know, that indicates 93% of the population is basically unprepared,
yeah,
you know, for disasters. That's shocking. And then companies just compound that when they don't think about their employees' personal preparedness. And so only 25% of companies even look at their employees' ability to be prepared at home for those disasters, and they presume that those employees are going to be available to help them do what they have to do, and that's a fault creates a false positive. So there's a lot of things out there. It takes a whole village of people back and forth to deal with.
Yeah, that's I spoke with that I can't remember who I was speaking with about, but the businesses if your community is wiped out, and you're a manufacturing town, you know, and the community is affected. The tornadoes is a perfect example. You know, they had the update on 60 Minutes, which I'm a big fan of. I like the program. You know, of the tornadoes and the people are trying to get back. There's nobody to go to work because the employee base is wiped out not habitable with their homes and so on and so forth. So you're not producing anything. So I never thought about it that way. But it's I'm sure it's a fine line. I'm sure you see it in your continuity plans. Is that how far does corporate or even a 50 person organization employees say, listen, are you prepared at home? Hey, it's none of your business what I do at my home. You know, that might be a tightrope. What do you think?
Well, I mean, you guys know this probably better than anyone. You take 9/11 as an example. You know, at the time and looking at one area in particular, the number of people who worked in emergency rooms, whether it was doctors or nurses or whoever in the emergency room, that 73% of those people were married to first responders in New York City.
Well, I didn't know that.
What do you think the impact of that is on the ability to deliver services during an incident like that? And when companies or organizations or people don't know that ahead of time, and then something happens, those things come out, you know, during that, and they affect your ability to respond, recover to what goes on. So, there's a lot of hidden dangers out there. And people aren't always looking at them, and we've got to continue to talk about that.
When you're talking 7%, and I didn't want to interrupt you then, but I say broken record, and I think I was telling you about that yesterday. I'm not perfect. I know I'm not perfect, but I try to better myself, and I make mistakes. I try to learn from their mistakes. It's just like anybody else, right?
Right.
But you know. Quizzing my kids or my wife, and you know, in this day and age, you know, our whole country is, you know, there's no 9-to-5 jobs anymore, you know, whether what shift it is, you know. So you say to yourself, you know, where do I squeeze this in? You know, where do I sit down? Because I mean, even for us, dinner is like a sandwich three times out of the week because we got football and we got soccer,
right?
You know, and Tuesday night, actually tonight is the only night my kids don't have anything, and it's like, you know, it's like, Dad, you're going to be home from work tonight. Well, if I don't get called out, yeah, I'll be home for dinner. So, you know, so we can all hang out together and so, you know, and have a discussion. So it's like, you know, that it's I used to say 5 pounds and 3 pounds. It's now 10 pounds in a 3 pound bag in our country. It's amazing. I got some web questions for you, though.
Okay.
It's from Sam. He says, can impact weather forecast weather further out than the weather show on TV? Is that something that you work with?
Yeah, the answer to that question is yeah. I mean, we do forecast out to 90 days, and like anything, and let me qualify myself. I'm not a meteorologist here, so
I work with meteorologists.
So yeah, we can forecast that, and the quality of your forecast depends upon what you're forecasting, how long it goes out, and obviously the wider the event horizon, you know, the less likely that forecast is going to be. But you take hurricanes, for instance. You know, we've got to be pretty accurate in terms of being able to predict paths of hurricanes now. Well, what we don't always know is some of the impacts of those. As you saw during Irene,
mm-hmm.
some of the parts like rainfalls and so on become a bit more problematic. But, yeah, we can do that, and we do that forecasting. In fact, we've got products now that allow our clients to do anything that Al Roker can do on TV, future casts, you know, of rainfall participation out ahead of time. We put all those things in their hands.
We just knocked off NBC. Al's got no job now.
We'll pick somebody else. I don't know the local weather people.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Another question is Josh. He lives in Florida. He says, as a homeowner, how do I access this program you're speaking of?
You can, if you're talking about impact weather, I don't know that we're always good clients. There are a lot of weather services available.
Mm-hmm.
What we try to do is to target our clients in which we can add value to them. But there are other weather services available. So as an individual homeowner, if you want to check out our area, you can go to www.impactweather.com and see them. And it may not be suitable for an individual homeowner. Our primary clientele is with the business community or large organizations, but organizational entities. So the pricing on our product probably may not work as well. But you can check out our services on www.impactweather.com. Or you can contact me. I'm sure you're going to post some information.
Oh, no, it's already up there, and, you know, your link and Bill's already got that Roger rocking and rolling. I guess, but people could view the website and get some intel and say, you know what, maybe I could ask my local official or so on and so forth if there's something along those lanes that they're preparing for. You know, it's a funny thing. This past Sunday morning, I got called out very early in the morning. Not early, it was like 5:30, 6 o'clock. So I'm going down the highway, and a couple of fire trucks zipped on by me. And the weather was nice, and they had traveled. I caught up to them, and there was nothing. And I thought to myself, see, this is where they're training and they're drilling, and people don't know about it. So there's that. I don't think enough people realize that the guys, and you know, the majority of the country is made up of volunteer firemen, and so there's a lot of drilling going out there. And now, you know, and Impact Weather is a perfect example. I mean, you have Bank of America, like I said, Marriott, Hewlett Packard, Target. You know, these are huge companies that are leaning on you for the expertise of. Again, they're not waiting for the government to come save them. I mean, they're big monsters. But you know, we'll pick up a little bit of that. We'll go to a commercial break. Like I say, we'll pick up Bill's mic. Stick around for a few more minutes.
I will.
Thanks. Okay. Appreciate it.
If you missed part of today's program or you want to hear the show again, you can do so with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast. Just go to www.drhradio.net, enter your email address, and the show will be delivered to your inbox. Keep you and your family safe by getting information on being prepared with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast, available at drhradio.net. When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York metro and tri-state area.
Do you know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated, a full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. Power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. Or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
At least one in four businesses affected by a disaster never reopen. Let me repeat, at least one in four businesses affected by a disaster, whether it's man-made or natural, never reopen. Yet far too many business owners put off their company's disaster.
You have 5 Can you sign it for me, please?
Don't forget those copies for the presentation.
Disaster plan because they let too many day-to-day things get in the way.
Is that 3 p.m. going to be all right with your schedule?
Hey, don't forget that Stanton proposes due.
Be in the conference room in 5 minutes, please.
To save your messages, present.
Received dispatch, truck 47 en route to 614 North Front Street.
Received. Be advised, truck 47, heavy fire showing from the ninth floor, second alarm being dispatched.
Disasters are unpredictable, but when you have a plan in place, you can better adapt, recover, and stay in control. So don't wait. Visit ready.gov to make your company's disaster plan. Ready.gov. It's never too late to protect your business until it is. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. Every Tuesday between 1 and 2 here at WVNJ, 1160 AM. The Voice, got a little tongue-tied there for a second. My guest today is Mike Thompson. Mike is associated with the ACP and continues to do good work for them, Association Contingency Planners. You're up on the website, Mike, drhradio.net, if you want to click on Mike's bio and then go right to Impact Weather. Mike, one of the things, we're in the fourth quarter, we only got about 8 or 9 minutes left, and by the way, the Giants won their game. I don't know what you guys did in Houston. Did you guys win?
We won. We beat Pittsburgh.
Oh, that's right. We did. My son and I did catch the tail end of that. They got a good ball club. Well, you had your leading guy. He's from Jersey, Cushing.
Yeah.
So you know, I got to take a little kudos for something, Mike. How about I asked the question about the municipalities, and that was good because I always try to bring in the common folk, you know, like myself, you know, citizens, and what is the, you know, big corporations doing to protect themselves, so in turn they protect the employees and so on. But how about, you know, I got a good friend in the retired state police, and he's on the New Jersey Health Social Sciences. Hospitals, or do you do work for hospitals? Because I think people don't realize, you know, they also need help. They're not the big white building at the end of the block.
Oh no, and if you're talking from an impact standpoint, yeah, we do, and we have a number of large area. But back to ACP for a second. I mean, what I would encourage any of your listeners to go out for is that we've went to FEMA and offered to mentor small-sized businesses that don't have resources to help them planning at that level, because everybody does need a plan. So I'd encourage any of your listeners that are out there to seek out your ACP chapter, and you can find that at www.acp-international.com, and seek out them and how to contact them for help and assistance in doing that. And a lot of our chapters have done work and sponsored workshops to small and medium-sized businesses to help get their readiness activities up and running.
Now the we have all the contact. Like I said, Bill's got it up there, and your local ACP on the website's www.acp.international, no, -international.com, right?
Right. Yep. Right. There are 43 chapters spread around the United States. Most of them, by the way, are in the Northeast. About 40% of those, and about 30% in the South. But you know, reach out there somewhere you can find by email. Get in touch, and we could put you in touch with somebody that can be of assistance. There are 2,500 members U.S.-wide, and we'll find somebody to be able to assist you. So
that's great intel. I think the little guy might think, like, you know, I'm a little guy,
right?
You know what? You know what? Can, you know, the you know, Bank of America's and Targets. You
yeah,
know,
right.
What, you know, I'm a pizzeria. I'm a bagel guy. I'm a local hardware store. What they can do for me? But, that's great information. Again,
we've offered to partner with DHS and FEMA and some of that outreach for them as well to help try and service that. Because everybody has the same needs, as we talked about at the beginning of the program, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the same process. It's just the level to an extent to which you do it. And you need the same tools. And I always talk about the six essential tools in business continuity. And, you know, and one of those, of course, is severe weather alerting in some way, because weather is the leading cause of business interruption. But the others are important, too. You need an emergency notification system. You need a way to manage incidents. You need a way to electronically document what your plan is. You need situational awareness about what's going on around you. And then the last thing that we talked about, that personal preparedness piece, that your people need to be prepared at their own, at their house level as well, to handle those incidents that come up.
I got another web question for you, Mike, from Mandy. It says, in the Northeast, we have had this weather system that has been just hanging around for about 2 weeks. Yeah, a little longer than that, I think, Mandy, but very happy it hasn't been snowing. Is this unusual, or is it just more noticeable to me? So is it because there's a heightened awareness of global warming or the perception of global warming? What do you see in your models and when you're talking to some of your clients, these big guys?
You have had, and just like we here in Texas have had that prolonged drought that has gone on with us, a lot of that has to do with, global seasonal patterns, La Niña's, El Niño activity. And so we've seen a lot heavier rainfall. In fact, we wish we had it down there.
Yeah,
you
sure.
All in the Midwest and the Northeast have got a lot. So
right. There
are seasonal patterns that go on, and you'll find that as you get in anything, that you have these patterns. They go on. They have different cycles to them. So you're in a cycle right now that's giving you a lot of rain. So it's not unusual what you're noted, but that will change, and those things will go on over time.
And we'll wish that we had the rain. And
yeah, right. You'll wish that. Yeah, and we'll wish that we had yours. So.
All right. Yeah, that's the great country we live in, you know. Mike, Impact Weather, www.impactweather.com.
Right.
Anything we could, you know, sign off with. Again, it's about that preparedness. But I forgot about this. You know, we shelved it for a little bit. The CERT program.
Uh-huh.
Now that's, I know they have it on some town digital signs out. You know, when you enter the town, you know, sign up for your CERT.
Right.
Is it demographically? Is it different? Geographically? Is it different or is it same? Is it the same model? I always was curious about
it's
that.
It's the same model and it's the same training. And again, it's something that I would encourage any of your listeners to participate in, either at an individual level or your community or your neighborhood. It's 8 weeks, 24 hours of free training given to you that you can use in many different ways, whether you participate in a team going forward or you just use it for your own preparedness. So Google CERT, you can find out where local teams are at, where to sign up for local training, but I would encourage everybody to do that because it helps you individually, and if you want to become involved, it helps you get involved with your community and your neighborhoods to go forward. But it's the same program administered throughout the country.
And you're having your national night out tonight, obviously at nighttime, you like said, because of Texas. What are the things that you guys do on yours?
We have a lot of preparedness material that we're out there. We're going to talk about CERT, how people can become more involved in CERT. We've got a materials available from ready.gov, as well as from some of our partners and things we've put together to help people prepare individual preparedness plans at their house. What kind of insurances you need, what you need to have in your emergency kits, those things based on the risks that we face down here, which are different than the risks that people face in different parts of the country.
Right. One of the things that the next time we talk, I'd like to talk about the insurance end of the impact of impact weather, business interruption. A lot of, I've gone on many commercial losses with the floods, presently, but over the years. And it's I still find it very amazing that a business owner doesn't know what BI stands for. The business my broker never told me that. Because it's not a romantic industry. It's like writing insurance. What do? I write insurance. Well, he must be a boring guy because that's what Hollywood, made those guys. They stereotyped them as boring individuals. But they're your best friend in a time of a disaster. And if it's not, if your policy doesn't read right, and I'm sure you guys review those types of policies when you're talking to Transocean or HCA or Shell.
And planning and what we do in contingency plans is a form of insurance. It's like anything else. It's what you do. It's helping you to insure and prepare for a risk that you have out there to find some way to mitigate it. So they're very similar kinds of processes, just done in different ways.
Yeah, yeah. And a little guy shouldn't think of himself as little. I mean,
he's
whether it's a single family income, the guy who owns the small mom and pop shop, and he's just pop, money is important.
It isn't little when you're in the middle of a disaster.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Right, and being prepared and being on the listening. You know what? Really heeding to the warnings. Like Christy up here said, quoted, get the hell out,
Right.
that, you know what, and people did.
Yeah,
and,
right. Get off of the beach, you idiot.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You know, stop watching Jersey Shore and, yeah, get right. off, and get off the shore, right?
Yeah.
So, Mike, it was a dynamite interview. We rolled the entire time, and, you know, I'm sure we get, you know, we'll do another segment in a couple months when you feel like you say, listen, Chris, I got some stuff I want to get out there. For ACP related or even impact weather related, and you know, we'll rock and roll like we did to, just did.
No problem. Be glad to come back, Chris.
Thanks, Mike. Take care of yourself. Be safe.
Bye bye.
All right, Mike. That was a dynamite interview. good to have met him, and that was because of Andy Weitzberg from ACP, the president chapter out there on Long Island. And you know, I know. You know, in business, and we talk about it, you know, at least once or twice a month we're talking about business continuity, but it really is a driving force behind what the government is trying to get us private people to do is, you know, you have Congress right now, you know, we just avoided a shutdown with money. You know, that's insane. Because, you know, we got people, I get people out there in Oakland, and I get people out there in Fairfield who are looking for FEMA for monetary help. And, you know, and these guys are squabbling over, you know, what should be cut in a budget that's going to happen next year or something. And meanwhile, these people are displaced still. So, you know, if you have an opportunity to talk to your local elected official and say, you know, what's happening with our government, because it's they had a very low rating right now. And again, this is not a political program, but you know, when FEMA is going back and forth, Congress is going back and forth to release funds or to say, okay, we'll expand the funds, but yet I want somewhere, and so I need money for a bridge somewhere else. I don't know. We got to look at the big picture here, you know. I know contingent, you know, the people who vote for you, so on and so forth. You know, you got to appease them. But anyway, so that's kind of a shame that they're still going back and forth and releasing, you know, $103 million. What's $103 million nowadays? It was $1 billion worth of damage here in Jersey alone. Never mind up the rest of the coast, all the way up into Vermont. I'm glad you tuned in. It was a great show. You know, Mike was fantastic. And we're just going to continue rolling with this preparedness thing and reporting about disasters, trying to help you guys out. You know, listen, it helps me out. I get these experts in these different fields. Scott, if you're listening, I'm glad you tuned in for the first time. Disaster Recovery Hour every Tuesday between 1 and 2, WVNJ, 1160 AM. Dave's telling me we got 30 seconds to go. One last thing. Major disaster. Let's end the war. Let's bring our troops home. God bless our country, and be safe. We'll see you soon. Take care.